Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim. This is now the 306th class of Soul Class. And today's program is going to be covering the Quantum Field of Crowns, installment number 4. And this teaching is rooted and sourced within the amazing teachings to be found from a Hasidic series entitled Ayin Beis by the 5th Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Shalom Dov Ber of Lubavitch, a direct descendant of King David and King Solomon. And not only that, we wish to point out to everyone that today we are experiencing acute attacks of Murphy's Law, meaning if something goes wrong, it can go wrong, but everything that is wrong is going amongst the human family condition. There's no wrong, there's no mistake, there's nothing of lacking above. It just when it descends down here, if we don't make ourselves proper vessels, then mistakes can, in fact, ensue. We didn't do a show in the last 2 weeks, and I guess our rustiness is really protruding profusely right now, but that's okay. We're going to start off, instead of, usually we play a song by Blessed Brother Isaac Vitton, instead we blew, and it's probably not the best rendition you'll ever hear, of the shofar, which is the custom of Israel to blow the shofar, to prepare our minds, hearts, spirits, and souls, and the rest of our human body, for the coming of the coronation of the King of all kings, Creator of all creations, the Most Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the infinite Creator. Let's start off with at least reciting a work, which is a work in progress, hopefully to be a monster song to permeate all of the hearts and minds, to help people assist themselves, circumcise their hearts and minds, by Rabbi Yitzhak Piton. This is called Unique Soul Bond. I'm just going to read the lyrics of a song hopefully we will be privy to play when it comes to fruition, mixed in, compounded with the blessed music that Rabbi Isaac has been composing for over 40-plus years. Unique soul bond, the rainbow left its mark with the man of the ark and the 70 families, sparkling the 7 colors to the souls through the 7 oldest universal laws. Living by the commandments is just like a romance with no one in between, no matter if it's 7 or 613. USB is for you. USB is for me. Unique soul bond. Unique soul bond is for everyone to see. We can make the heavens our house down here. USB, it's the bound of the it's the bond of the free. USB, it's for elevating human dignity. It's the link of love for humanity. All one family with unique soul bond. It's all got to be a unique soul bond. From India to Africa, far away in Asia, to homes in America. Soul gets stronger as it goes with the 7 oldest universal laws. The better we become with the pearls of wisdom, we find true happiness within. No matter if it's 7 or 613, USB is for you and me. Unique soul bond. And by the way, Soul Class is inspired. The title Soul Class is inspired by actually the suggestion, the wise suggestion of Yitzhak Piton. And that's why he calls it Soul Class, because soul is an acronym for 7 oldest universal laws. So here we go, let's go into installment number 4 of In the Quantum Field of Crowns. Blessed souls, during the first 3 presentations regarding the Torah perspectives from within Panimios, or Panimio to Torah, the inner dimensions of Torah, we have connected Keter, crown, to a Shem Tov, to a good name, the crown of a good name, Keter, Keser, Malchus, the crown of kingship or sovereignty over oneself, and for those who are elevated to lead others towards the universal redemption. Keser or Keter, Kohuna, the crown of priesthood or servitude in communion with the Most High and other human beings. And of course, Keser, Keter Torah, the crown of Torah, learning Torah to the point where one is empowered to, in fact, connect divine instruction towards the blessed human family experience on this blessed earth. Also, Keter Keser crown is connected to the crown of patience. Keter Savlanut, Keter Mitun, Keser Shtika, the crown of silence, Keser hope, or Tikva, Keter Tikva, desire to emanate, create creation. We now wish to reveal another quality of Keter, Keser, which we didn't talk about, or maybe we alluded to it in the previous three programs, or maybe some of you have learned from Ayin Beis, you know what I'm going to be talking about, and those of you who haven't, that's okay. We're talking about another quality of Keter, Keser, namely as an intermediary, in Hebrew known as a Memutza, Machaber Eino Mafsik, the type of intermediary that connects and doesn't, by going between point A and point B, but doesn't really separate point A and point B, but joins them together. We're talking about a go-between spiritual, intellectual, divine realm within this blessed creation. Keter. What is the relevance of now considering Keter, Keser, crown, to be a quality of intermediary? Mamutza. This type of intermediary, mamutza, involves an experience which all of us have experienced to greater or lesser degrees. That is to say, when any type of ratzon, desire, is aroused, a connection is established between one experiencing arousal, it orarut, orarus, and the matter one is aroused about, the subject of one's arousal. Before we are aroused towards any matter of desire, say, for example, say you have a desire that you didn't have yesterday now to help a peer get to work tomorrow morning. That thought, that ratzon, that desire to help your fellow work peer is totally beyond our consciousness to do the kindness of helping him or her arrive at the top of prime to work until we're made aware of the fact that he or she needs a ride, a tramp, to get to work. You wouldn't think to help them get to work unless they tell you they need assistance getting to work. It's just not in your consciousness. Then they make you aware of it, so you say, okay, I'll help you. And that's based on your desire to help them. However, on the divine level, before there was an arousal from above to create all the worlds that surround us and affect us, as we synergistically interact with them, the worlds of Asti, which are the worlds of action, speech, thought, and intellect, Olam Asiya, Olam Hadibur, Olam Hamachshava, Olam Haseichel, Olam Asiya, Yetzira Bria, Atzilut, the Makor Dekula, the source of all, was completely removed from all types of worlds as we know of it. Not removed in the sense of not being in the worlds of Asti, action, speech, thought, and intellect. Now again, blessed souls, we must take a point to just say, take a verbal time out to remind everyone, we need to point out that the discussion of, say, before and after are time-related occurrences which are truly not relevant when we're talking about this type of realm of Elokut in which we're currently pondering upon. This level of the idea that it arose up in the divine will of the Creator is separated from any considerations of creative process, again, in the sense that we understand how to create something, because his creative process is not like our creative process. Again, I am more than just supposing this may be a difficult concept for many blessed souls to understand or attempt to understand occurrences to the exclusion of normative time sequential scenarios. And in fact, the whole idea of an occurrence itself triggers in our mind automatically something happened within the realm of time. The only way I can try to elucidate this concept, the whole idea of something arose up in the divine will of the Creator to create all creation, is to mention the concept of experiential transcendence that we human beings, all of us, whether we're conscious of it or not conscious of it, whether we're familiar with this term or not familiar with this term, this is something that I learned, I was a senior in high school, way, many, many moons ago, in the 20th century, 20 years before the 20th century ended, that the experience of, say, attending a wedding or attending a birth, if those of you who have merited to be present or close to in proximity to the birth of one of your children, or attending a sports event, at the very climax of these events, say in the height of celebration of the wedding, or the first time you see the child emerge from your mate's womb, or you see your favorite player hit a home run and you're watching the ball soar in the sky before it gets to the stands, or you're seeing your favorite football player running towards the goal to win the touchdown as the clock has run out, your sense of time, so to speak, gets put to the side and you're in that moment. So to speak, the experiential transcendence is something that humans like to experience, that sense of existential, within existential type of experience, sensation, to the exclusion of past and future, just being in the now, which seemingly seems to go on longer than that moment, even though it's not, because it's happening in this world where everything is in a sequential nano, second, minute, hour, day, month, year, century, etc. type of cycle of experiences. So we're not going to suggest that in terms of the fact that there was aroused within the original divine will of the Creator, there was a lack of consciousness on the part of the Orient Self, the light of the infinite Creator. Rather, always concealed within the Creator's essence, Helam Lagamri Ba'atzmuso, Ba'atzmuto, not bearing any quality of revelation towards not only this world of action, but as well, no manifestations of actualization of prepotential possibilities, even before the blessed entity of creation was considered, as we of human perception would conceive of such a scenario. So to speak, if we could picture in our mind's eye one teeny tiny ray contained within the strength or the epicenter of the sun, the S-U-N. I like to think of the sun, the S-U-N, if you put a period after S, a period after U, a period after N, would serve as a very potent acronym. S meaning strength, U unifies, N for neshamos, or neshamot, means souls, meaning strength unifies souls. And we look at the powerful strength of the sun radiating every day, blessed by the Most High to be, merely to be that delightful axe in the hand of the Creator to chop out for us portions of energy, whether it be for solar energy, whether it be for other forms of energy, meaning to give us with giving our supplemental vitamin D requirements from the sunlight. If we were to picture within this sun, alluding to us, strength unifies neshamot, strength unifies souls, if we were to look into this sun, our sun, the one S-U-N of our earth that we're currently aware of, as we can just look and see it in the sky on a sunny day, without clouds blocking it, one teeny tiny ray contained within the epicenter of this powerful sun. But that one tiny little ray would protrude no sense of individualized personal existence, but rather would be connected in concealed fashion to the untold, uncountable tiny rays of the sun. Yet, from the outside perspective, from afar, as we stand upon this blessed earth, we could perceive, at least at this side, or at least on the side of the sun, which is burning brightly towards us, projecting its heat, warmth, and power towards us, and we being us, meaning mere human beings, blessed and anointed with the divine image, we would also be forced to admit that the other half of the sun is not seen by our human eyes. And within the Ayin HaSeichel Shebel Moach and Ayin HaSeichel Shebel Lev, with the eye of the intellect of our minds and the eye of the intellect of our hearts, we also have to come to realize that whatever revelation from the sun we do not observe from that other half that's not shining directly upon the earth may well be because that form of revelation is actually, according to the divine will and wisdom, not intended to be connected to us. This level of revelation, to the exclusion of human perception, awareness, is testimony concerning the exalted nature of the sun, which is a mashal, an allegory, alluding to a realm of the Creator, which is exalted exclusively, within the Creator of all creation, which we mere human beings, even blessed, if we were blessed, all of us, with prophetic sensitivities, would still be in the dark as to what is truly embedded within the Orein Sof, within the context of the Orein Sof, the light of the Creator himself, the consciousness, the secrets of the Creator known only to him, as being totally, uniquely, solely unified within the Ein Sof, the infinite Creator. Now, some of these concepts we've shared with you today, blessed souls, might seem pretty heavy, and they are, because it means us going out of time sequence consciousness. But I'd like to conclude with a teaching from today's Hayom Yom, actually from 2 days ago. No, actually from today's Hayom Yom, which was a seminar work which was gathered together by the Lubavitch Rebbe, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Schneerson, Director Center of King David Solomon, Schusa Yoga Leinu, as he was guided by his father-in-law, the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzhak Schneerson of Lubavitch, also Director Descendant of King David and Solomon, that the Friedrich Rebbe instructed the Rebbe to record, and I'm going to paraphrase it, the whole idea of the concept of his bononut, meditation, inner understanding, analytical thinking, this idea of going and learning the particularities of a muskal, of a concept, and then focusing one's sensitivities to the essence of those concepts can sometimes bring about many difficulties in our trying to comprehend all the particularities and seeing how the particularities, so to speak, pieces to this intellectual puzzle seem at the time out of our reach, especially by us regular folk. However, the Friedrich Rebbe instructed the Rebbe to share with us today, even 70 years after this teaching was initially published, that when someone is removed intellectually, even spiritually, from being able to connect to very deep and ethereal and refined concepts, if that subject, if that muskel is of deep concern to the person, he or she, even of us of weak intellect, will actually come up with profound conceptualizations, which means we're connecting to the concept in a way which is quite profound and according to our comprehension, and we can grow in it. And if we really want to grow with it, we'll think about it more and more, and we'll talk about it more and more, whether to ourselves or share it over a cup of tea with a friend or breakfast or dinner or lunch or wherever, at the Shabbos table, at the Yom Tov table, wherever we are, where it seems to be socially appropriate to vibe out on that, not to force feed it down someone's throat, not to give the appearance that we're speaking from an ivory tower. And with that saying, that would be in the spirit of his water. Now, what is the spirit of his water? This is a song that we're going to be concluding with, because I would usually, as you know, blessed as I usually conclude with a song from Blessed Brother in Arms and Spirit and Soul from David Dome. But for whatever reason, I cannot connect to the internet today. Again, that's an expression of Murphy's Law, but I am not ashamed. I'm very proud to play a song now that was written by Joseph Israel, which is called His Water, which is meaning that when we share wisdom, and wisdom is alluded to in the Torah, is likened to lahamshil chachma lamayim, it's likened to water. But when we're sharing these teachings, blessed souls, whether this or the more revealed dimensions of Torah, or we talk about and we vibe out on relationships with other people, or about subjects of concern to empower any person that we have the opportunity to empower, It's not our wisdom. It is the wisdom of the Most High, His wisdom, which was originally transmitted to original man and woman, Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, and it passed down through a series of prophets and became a little bit more congealed and a little more, how should we say, focused to one particular family, the Abrahamic family, the Isaac family, the Jacobic family, the nation of Israel. But that does not preclude at anyone's time, from those times to these days, that the children of Noah, which is called Mishpachat Adamah, all the families of earth, can in fact drink of these waters. And how blessed shall be the portion of a person who comes to engage in the teachings of Torah and to disseminate the teachings of Torah. When the ultimate expression of our teaching Torah is to bring another human to realize this is his water. This is the water of the Most High. This is the wisdom of the Most High, which is accessible to the human family experience through Torah Kodosha, the Holy Torah, which is a Torah Nitzki, Haran Nitzki, an eternal instruction. And therefore we're going to end off with a Havachad, one love, Goralachad, one destiny, Kulanum, for all of us, Badarchi Shalom, in a peaceful way, Darkinom, in a pleasant way. And here is Joseph Israel's His Water from his new, powerful Kingdom Road album, which is not a album for weak-hearted people, people who want to go strong, and they yearn for the Ari Yashar Yehuda, the Lion of Judah, roar out Torah Chadashah, the instructions of Torah which have never been revealed, revelations, prophetic and down-to-earth revelations simultaneously, which will be comprehensible to the greatest intellect and the simplest of mind. Take care, everyone. And we're not on the right song. And let's get to the right. This is a good song too, but we're going to go one song back. And it's Murphy's Law Day. Here we go. Here we go. Bless your souls. Enjoy. Take care, everyone. Ahav Echad.
Almighty one of our creation, give us strength to overcome the wicked lies and oppression. We're living in this system. We stand for your kingdom land. Promise to Abraham to be a blessing to every tongue, tribe, and nation. We got to forgive. We got to forgive. We're gonna live. That's right. We're gonna live.